Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Jake Plummer will jump on board outside of Denver, outside of his home. It's not going to be outside of his home, but outside of Denver, where his home is. Boulder, Colorado. We'll get that right. Jake will be with us here momentarily, and we'll talk about Peyton Manning. So NFL Films, have you guys seen this little bit of video, NFL Films capturing Peyton whispering or saying to Bill Belichick, I shouldn't say whisper, it's inaudible, the audio, you can make it out just enough where this could be my last rodeo. And he thanked Bill Belichick, so everybody's now of the assumption that this is it for Peyton Manning. I don't know that. Peyton's calculated enough, he could have just said that to get it out there. That's just me thinking there's a grassy knoll theory. I know that's cynical, but, you know, it's Wednesday. Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas will be with us. We'll talk with Jimmy about all the lines, all the odds, all the stuff. Eric, are you a betting? You're a betting man. You lay down money quite often. So do you do Super Bowl betting?
I love it. One of the most entertaining parts of the Super Bowl for me is actually throwing down, $60 worth of bets on five or six different things that can keep me entertained and give me something to keep me occupied, because usually it's two teams that I could really give two poops about. So
wow. Not one poop, but two.
Yeah. Well, jeez. There's two teams, so one poop each.
Okay. I got you. So in Vegas, they have these prop bets that have come out. And look, the fun around the Super Bowl is the prop bets. Like, you're saying you'd lay down, you say $60 you're going to throw
around,
down?
But total. So I'll do, you know, three or four bets at $15 a piece.
Okay, so here's some of the prop bets.
Okay.
And for you guys, you're going to want to get in on these two. Some of the prop bets, this just came out today.
And the Suns lost, by the way, and the Coyotes lost. So that's why we're leading with prop bets.
I know. And I'll get to the Suns in a bit. So here are some of the prop bets that are out there around Vegas. And Eric's a betting man. He likes to drop some money. Weigh in on this one with me. How many times will Peyton Manning yell Omaha? More than 50 or less than 50? So he's at the line of scrimmage. Are you going to take more than 50 or less than 50? I would go over on this one.
Correct.
I'd say more.
I agree with you. Over.
Yeah. So I'd lay some big money on that one, because I think that's an easy prop bet. How many times will Cam Newton dab on camera? Now, people, what's the definition of dab? That would be me. Is it when he does this, when he does this, when he does any sort of those gyrations, more than four, less than four? Because it's a Bronco defense, you have to wonder, will he be able to celebrate that many times? That's how I would look at it. I would go less than four.
I'm going over four. He's going to be extra amped up for the Super Bowl. If he gets a two-yard run on third and one, he's going to dab.
But don't you think that that is just his marketing people saying, hey, look, you got to make sure this is your biggest stage?
Sure.
That's him. All right. How many footballs will the Panthers give away to kids in the stands? I like this. Three or more or less than three. This is you can bet on this stuff. We're not making this up. These are the bets that are out there. What do you think?
Push. I wouldn't touch it.
Wouldn't touch that one.
Yeah.
When will the red spot appear on Peyton Manning's forehead? Before kickoff, first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter.
First quarter.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And because they get tied on it. How many times will Phil Simms say the word football? You could do a drinking game around this one. How many times will Phil Simms say the word football? More than 60, less than 60?
Less than 60.
What color will Jim Nance's tie be? Will Bruno Mars make an appearance at the halftime show? Will Beyonce and Coldplay perform Hymn for the Weekend together? How many times will the Golden Gate Bridge be shown? How do you not love this? How many commercials will feature cute dogs? More than three, less than three. Way over.
Over.
Way over on that. How many commercials will feature Peyton Manning? More than two, less than two.
Over.
Way over on that one. Here's one last one. How long will fans boo Roger Goodell at the Lombardi Trophy presentation? More than 20, less than 20. I'd say less.
I would too.
Could you imagine if New England had beat Denver? And Goodell had to stand there and hand the trophy to Tom Brady. That would be the ultimate. Like, everything that happened with the Flate Gate, and then he'd have to stand. Roger Goodell was probably the happiest person on earth. He could be the guy going to Disneyland once New England was eliminated because that whole awkward scene was taken out of the way.
Over under on National Anthem? Is that up there? Probably not. But that's one I always bet on.
All right, that's some good. Oh, here's one. Will NBA star and Panther fan Steph Curry be at the game, yes or no? Will Michael Jordan be at the game? I think that's an easy yes.
Yes.
Given the thing with Cam Newton.
Yes.
They played that whole angle up.
And they'll show him in a box.
And he'll have a cigar, and he will have bet gobs of money. Right?
Most likely.
That's how it works. That's fun. Okay, now let's get to the stuff that happened in Phoenix last night.
Which is not fun.
How do you lose to Philadelphia twice in a season? How is it that there is not outrage in our community over how far the Suns have fallen? How is it that I'm watching the game last night? Did you see any of it?
No.
I mean, you talk about two really bad teams to begin with. The basketball, Eric, was like Church League Wednesday night, 35 over guys. One of those deals. I mean, they're guys I'd never heard of for both teams that were out there. And this is, you're watching them try to just run a semblance of an offense. And all it was shot goes up, chip the paint off the rim. We're going the other way, or break the glass because the shots weren't good. The Suns last night, what was it? They turned the ball over 19 times. They shot 36% and they missed 9 free throws. So you just look at the numbers and the fact that it's Philadelphia, that Philadelphia is 2-0 against your Phoenix Suns this year. It can't get any worse than that.
The Sixers have played 46 games. They've won 7, 2 are against the Suns.
And there's people that are probably yelling at their screens or listening right now saying, it's not funny. Not funny. Fire Sarver's got to sell. Sarver's not going to sell. His team's worth $1 billion. This may be the biggest get-off I've ever seen in sports. You buy a team for $400 million. The worth of it goes up to $1 billion. You haven't made the playoffs in 6 years. The team stinks. Nobody cares. And they got Markieff Morris out there who's trying to grow this beard that a bird could fly out of. I don't know what that's all about now, watching him play. I feel like Eddie Johnson, I have to believe that during the commercial breaks, knowing the industry, these guys have to take off their headphones and say a bunch of things I can't say here right now. And just kind of sit back and say, how did we get stuck with this? Losing to Philadelphia twice, and there was nobody there last night. They introduced the fans before the players. There was nobody there. It was empty seats all over the place. And it's only January, and I'm losing my mind over this. I'm excited about something. I'm going to leave after the show today. We have the TV show tonight. Leaving after the show today to go to LA to do a sit-down interview with Jason Sudeikis. And he's a funny guy. And Jeremy Irons. They're in this movie called Race. Did you see the previews to that? It was on during the Cardinals game. They showed it a couple times.
I did. I saw it.
So it's the story of Jesse Owens. And Jesse Owens actually lived in Scottsdale at one point in time, back in the 80s before passing away. I'm going to see the movie tonight, and tomorrow morning I'm going to get Jason Sudeikis, Jeremy Irons. But here's the really cool part of this, Eric. Jesse Owens' 3 family members are going to be there tomorrow, and I'm going to get to do a sit-down with them. And I'm hoping that here's how it works. They usually give you 5 to 7 minutes with each one of these guys. Like Will Smith, it was like 4.5 because he was on a tight schedule, which is fine. That's all I need. But to sit with Jesse Owens' family members, I don't know if it's his sisters, daughters. I don't know. But I know that it's one of those things that from a historical standpoint, I'm big on that. I'm not the History Channel here. I could sit here for an hour and talk about how Carson didn't play well the other night. That's not hard to do. I could sit here and talk about the Suns for an hour. That's not hard. Well, it is hard to do because they're so bad. But to sit with Jesse Owens' family and kind of pour into them about what stories did he tell you, I'm hoping that I get quite a bit of time with them tomorrow. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Jake Plummer will join us next. Jake the Snake outside of Denver at Boulder, Colorado. We'll visit with Jake. on the matchup with the Broncos, and also what does Carson do to recover? How does he recover? Can he recover? That's next. Now, Jake Plummer joins us via Skype. Every week, Jake jumps on board outside his home in Boulder, Colorado. I have no idea where Jake is, other than I've been told he's not at his house and he's Skyping in. So let's bring Jake on board. You're in your truck, it looks like.
Yeah, just hanging out in my truck, you know, just having fun in my truck out and about.
Where are you heading to while you're out and about? Am I catching you at a grocery store?
I just got done taking a yoga class. You know, I've been trying to get yoga a couple times a week. Warms up my core and gets me loose and feeling good. And then got to go get some groceries for the wife. So out running errands, man.
Skyping in the truck, running errands. That's technology. I like that.
Love it.
Okay. So you're watching Carson Palmer the other night. Are you feeling sick to your stomach about seeing Carson Palmer? And to advance it further, can he recover from a type of performance like that?
Well, I'm sure he can recover. There's, you know, any competitor and quarterback, you know, you're going to have bad days once in a while. It's just too bad it happened on, you know, one of the biggest games in Cardinals history. I feel for him. I feel bad for the team because, you know, they were right there. They were so close, and, you know, you try to pin it all on Palmer, which I don't think you can. You know, that end of that first half when Peterson dropped the punt, that was big. You know, that would have been a chance for them to at least get a field goal going into the half or a touchdown. Instead, Carolina gets the ball, goes down and scores. That's a huge swing. Now you got a team that's not really playing how their coach wants them to, which is loose and confident and sure that they're going to come back. Instead, they're tight. They're behind the eight ball. They know that every play, every moment has to really be executed well, and you got to seize every drive and end with touchdowns and scores and put a lot of undue pressure on him. And so I felt for Carson. I felt like watching him that, you know, I don't know, he's not the quickest quarterback in the world.
Right.
But he could have helped himself by speeding up some of his pocket, you know preparation to throw. It just looked like he felt like he had better protection, and those guys for Carolina were able to just like hit his arm a couple times, get in there and ruffle him up a little bit. And I feel bad for him because I had such a great year. You could see the guys really wanting it. I felt awful when Larry Fitzgerald had that drop. I mean, here's a guy I think who has somewhere like 25 or 26 drops in his whole career and happens to be on a third down when they really needed it. So I just felt bad. They didn't really perform. But they ran into a juggernaut. That Panthers team is confident. Whether they're young or not as a player, they play like they're young and having fun. And they embody their leader, Cam Newton, who really just seizes every moment to enjoy himself and have a great time.
What advice would you give Carson Palmer in this offseason? Because I think he's in a tough spot down here, Jake, in that he can go out next year and have a great regular season, but the conversation is going to be, can he get it done on the biggest of biggest stages? What advice would you give him?
You know, I'd tell him right now, or if I was in his shoes, I would go and just make sure to meet up with the right guys, the leaders, the guys that are possibly going to be leaving the team that you hope to have stick around. And that's one thing that the Cardinals have been doing is keeping their core guys around. You watch a guy or you see a guy like Larry Fitzgerald, who's been on that team for a long time, could have gone other places. They kept him around. He's a key component to that, the success of that organization. And so is Carson. So he's got to make sure, you know, those core leaders, those core guys still believe in him and let him know that, you know, everything he's going to do is going to be centered around not to just get into that NFC championship game next year, but getting all the way. And so tough spot for him. You know, you got to somehow forget it, which will never happen because the great media out there is going to bring it up all off season,
yep,
all preseason camp, every game of the year when they start winning and they're in first place. Oh, but will Carson be able to perform in the playoffs? So for him, he's got to block all that out. And hopefully the media will, you know, let it go. It's a game, it's over with, and history doesn't repeat itself. You know, you don't go out and have the same thing happen in a game. It never happens like that. So for Carson, yeah, I feel for him. Late in his career, I'm sure he wanted it badly, but that'll make him even more hungry this next offseason. And as a leader, he can definitely guide those guys in the right direction and show them his toughness and his courage and not be moping around, but be ready to go at it full strength and try to get back there again.
Jake Plummer joining us via Skype in his truck. Is that a truck or a minivan, by the way?
It's a Toyota Tacoma, 06.
All right, 06. There you go. A lot of miles on that bad boy?
Just over 100,000. I'm thinking I'm going to give it to my firstborn when he needs a car to drive here in about 10 years.
There you go. Before I let you go, Peyton Manning comes into this Super Bowl. I know you're up there. It's got to be crazy. Do you anticipate this being his last game?
I hope so, just from watching him and seeing what he's gone through the last couple years. Last year, playing the whole year and his body not holding up. And then this year, his body not even holding up through two-thirds of the season and him having to take a break. I see him fresh and re-energized, ready to go. He's leading these guys. He's got a pep in his step. He knows the focus isn't solely on him now. Obviously, he's going to make great plays and call checks at the line of scrimmage to get the offense into better plays. But that team is highly motivated to win regardless. Mm-hmm. And with him being the guy that, here at the end of his career, they're extremely motivated to go out there and not do what they did a couple years ago, which was fall flat, but to go out and really go after it, leave it all on the field. I think you're going to see him doing the same thing. Like you saw him scrambling for 12 yards last week. I mean, that's something we don't see Peyton do ever. So he's in it to try to win this thing. And I truly believe he's reflecting a lot and enjoying the moments. And that to me is a sign that he's considering if they win, taking off and heading into the sunset and spending some time with his wife and kids. Now, if he loses, you're going to have to ask Peyton himself of what his plans are, because I can see him not wanting to leave on a south.
I'll let you go off that, Jake. Good stuff there. Jake Plummer joining us for a couple of minutes via Skype. Good stuff there with Jake. And we're back with more after this timeout. Sports360AZ.com. We play the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm trying to think the last time we Skype with somebody in a truck. A Tacoma, what did you say, 2006 Tacoma?
We never Skyped with anyone in a truck.
Truck? No. You have your camera up? Do we have Eric's camera up? We'll get Eric's camera up. That's fine. I like seeing him. No, I'm trying to remember of all the guests we've done. We've been doing this stuff for 20 years, and I mean, for me, longer than that, but technology is so cool that when Jake checks in, he's like, yeah, I'm in my truck. That's all I got was he's there via Skype. And so then when he's in his truck, I'm trying to figure out what kind of truck is that? It looks like a minivan that he's in. And it's a 2006 that he's in. That's fine. It's fine. I'm trying to remember the last time we did something that was cool. The story of Oregon State football caught my eye. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but, and there's a lot of jokes here that you could make. Prehistoric bones believed to belong to a mammoth have been unearthed during construction at Oregon State's football stadium. This according to a report by the Corvallis Gazette Times. I think we got some pictures on this. Construction crews made the discovery Monday while excavating the site of Valley Football Center expansion project at Research Stadium. These are dinosaur bones. This is in Corvallis, Oregon.
That's crazy. That's literally just the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Well, Skyping in a 2006 is pretty crazy.
Nah, dinosaur bones under football stadiums is much cooler than Skyping a truck. And Skyping a truck is pretty neat.
That is pretty neat. But Deputy Athletic Director Mark Massery told the newspaper the bones were uncovered at the site of the football team's future locker room. Now, that's appropriate because they've had a lot of dead bodies through the years roll through Oregon State football. And now they can use that as motivation. But look at, the size of those bones. We have that shot again, Jared. Look at that. That's not like a chicken wing or something. That's not Colonel Sanders. That's just crazy.
What do you think they're going to do with those? Are they going to donate those to like a museum? Are they going to put them in their football trophy display area?
Well, I would think, I'm reading through the story, at least one large bone was removed by a university archaeologist yesterday. An Oregon State professor who examined the bones estimated they're nearly 10,000 years old. Associate professor of anthropology at Oregon State was summoned to the site after the initial discovery was made. So I'm envisioning these guys that have the work clothes on with their vests. It's like, they're tapping away, they're shoveling dirt, and shh, shh, shh. What's this?
Yeah, you may want to call the foreman. Why? We've discovered something.
We got something
literally
going on here. We got bones, prehistoric bones, 10,000-year-old bones, and I don't know. How old is the Earth? Is the Earth? The Earth is 8,000 years old.
I like how you're just asking me these questions. This is a sports show. I already have my college degree. I don't need to go to school anymore. I have no idea.
These are just things that come to my mind. You know, that's what our show's all about. Sometimes it's not about sports. I'll circle back to sports and talk Suns Sixers all day long if you'd like me to. I could diagram pick and roll and talk about how great Archie Goodwin was for 10 minutes and what are they going to do with Archie Goodwin. This is far more entertaining. Or not. So anyways, that caught my eye today. That did catch my eye. The Coyotes got drilled last night. So the Coyotes are coming up to the All-Star break. And you know, Eric, we might have a playoff team this year. We might have a playoff team when it comes to the hockey squad. And we've been wanting one. When we first started doing this in 2011, I remember going to LA and Jody Jackson and Paula and Craig Morgan and myself, we're at some Chinese place having sake and a lot of sake, I might add. At least I was. And I think Paula was. And I think Jody was. I'm not sure about Craig. But we were all there because the Coyotes were in the playoffs. They were playing the Kings. And that seems like an eternity since we had hockey here that mattered. But I'm excited here at the midpoint of the season to finally look around and say, because I think the baseball team is going to be in a pennant race this year. Well, I think that's very fair to say. I believe that the college football teams are going to be better than they were last year, but not great. I don't think U of A or ASU are going to be competing this year for a Pac-12 South title. But I think they're going to be better. They can't be as sloppy, especially ASU, as they were last year. I think Kalen Ballage is an under-the-radar possible Heisman Trophy guy for this coming season. That's just me. If I'm looking at running backs that have the ability to have big seasons and the way their schedule lays out early, you got Texas Tech on the field, I think you're going to be able to run for some yards. But if hockey comes on board, I've always felt that if hockey was a consistent winner here in the Valley, that it would be the coolest of all the sports. And I even mean the NFL. Because there's something about going to a hockey game in the rink. You and Carly were going to go the other night.
We went on Saturday. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Good game. Good win over the Kings. Good atmosphere. Big crowd.
Good crowd?
Good crowd.
Yeah? Was it a giveaway? Were they giving away something?
No, but it was a Saturday night game against a team that is in the division and pretty popular, and it was fun.
But you know, and people say, why don't you guys do more around the Coyotes? There's only so many places we can be, and we do some. But we don't do a lot because we want to do some of the offbeat stuff around them. And if they go to the postseason, then in my opinion, it would be worth traveling to. It would be. And I don't care what the TV ratings show because I know the TV ratings. I see the ratings. They don't show much. But that doesn't matter to me. I really like what they're doing over there. So that last night was one of the few nights so far this season where they just got crushed. They got drilled. They got destroyed. And that's going to happen through the course of the season. I think the bigger takeaway for me as to where they are now that we're at the All-Star break is, can they keep this momentum going? Can they make it interesting by the end of February into March? Are we going to have a team that we can actually put our arms around and say, you know what, there's going to be something meaningful going on here in April and into May? I watched the number one team in college basketball play last night, Oklahoma. And I watched a lot of sports last night.
Oh, they're the number one team this week?
Yeah. You know, the Big 12 is fun to watch, though. I do like Big 12, but I've become more and more. We had Jay Billis on. We've had Jay on a lot on the show through the years. And Jay was one that I think it was last year said on this show and other shows, too, we need to start the college basketball season later and we need to have the season finish in May, that there'd be more interest in the season. And I've now come to the point where I am fully in agreement with him on that. Because these games that happen in November and in December, you have the schools that are on break and you have finals. And the ASU-U of A game was played on a Sunday afternoon on the 2nd of January. Nobody was there. You know, he got lost in the shuffle. And I understand that TV contracts if you took March Madness out of March and you made it May Madness, that you'd be competing in May with NBA playoffs. You'd be competing against the NFL draft for a few days. But I really believe from a just a national interest standpoint to try to catch up to these teams now, I'm trying to play catch up because I've been paying so close attention to college football. I just have not paid that close attention.
Yeah, and the NFL.
And the NFL.
November, December is crunch time for a bunch of NFL teams. So.
And you've done a couple great stories on GCU. Jared's done one as well on GCU. And they have the best record in the nation right now. Okay, and I know you're going to say, well, who are they played? They played some good teams. If you look at some of their wins this year, they've had some good wins.
They beat Houston. They beat San Diego State on the road. They have had some nice victories.
UNLV? I mean, was
did they beat UNLV?
They played in UNLV.
They played at UNLV.
Played up in Vegas, that's right.
And one of their losses is to Louisville. So they have two. One is to Louisville.
But, you know, it's like I watched ASU over the weekend at the Cal game. I think it was the Cal game. And I'm just trying to get to play catch up with them and what they're doing under Bobby Hurley. I think
might have been
be
Stanford.
Better.
Stanford was Saturday. Cal was Thursday. So it was the Cal game. It was last Thursday.
So it was
because that was one of the few games that's not on Pac-12 Network that I actually got to watch.
Ah, there you go. Take a shot at that.
Anyway, not to interrupt you, but go ahead.
No. But we're in this space in the sports calendar where I'm hoping and looking out to this year that the Cardinals are going to be relevant and going to be interesting. We have no doubt about that. The Diamondbacks, it would be a complete lead balloon if we're sitting here in July and they're having to pair off bodies and sell them off because they weren't having a successful season. And I just hope the Coyotes can work through that. And the Sun season can't get over quickly enough.
It's crazy to think, Brad, that the Coyotes playoff run back in 2011 seems like quite
forever.
A while. Forever. The Suns hadn't been in the playoffs even before the Coyotes' last playoff appearance. It's mind-boggling,
isn't
it?
It's sickening. It's sickening that you could take something that was so great and just let it fall into disrepair. And nobody over there can give me a good explanation. And who's Robert going to fire at the end of this year? If you don't fire Jeff, and I think for Jeff's own health, I'm hoping he's not back in this mess because this isn't going to turn around next year. This is not. They're in the ditch. They're way in the ditch. They're in the Grand Canyon.
It's crazy to think about what Paul Coro told you yesterday, that Jeff Hornacek was the runner-up coach of the year two years ago. I mean, think
he's
of
not
how,
an idiot,
how quickly things have spiraled. But again, it's right out of his control because the roster is never consistent. So,
all right. Jimmy Vaccaro is next in Vegas, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right. For many of you here in Arizona going to Vegas, that is going to happen here in the next week and a half. You need to go to the South Point Casino. You know him, you love him, you hear him. Jimmy Vaccaro joins us from Vegas. All right. Before we get into the Super Bowl, what was it like last Sunday, final moments, Patriots, Broncos? What was it like as Carolina was crushing the Cardinals, Jimmy?
You guys got to the front of the line, and then you got your ticket rejected. sorry to hear that about your guys. But, you know, Brad, we've talked about it over and over and over again. It was Super Bowl Sunday squared. When you had two great games, obviously the second game didn't pan out to be a great game, but the crowds are just insane. It's like Super Bowl crowds. The Patriot game at the end was absolute insanity because it looked like for a while you had no chance if you had the Patriots minus the 2.5 in your pocket. Then you made the miraculous comeback, three fourth downs and made them all. One turned into a touchdown, and it was just insanity. Then after the second game, even though you guys lost, a lot of people cashed their tickets and bet on the game coming up nationally two Sundays from now, which just shows you the impact of the game. I predict, and I've been wrong before, this will be the highest bet Super Bowl of all time, only because of what I've seen, starting with the NFL playoffs, the wild cards, and getting into the division and the conference winners. It's just something that we just start to accept that this is the biggest event day of the year, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger every year. So controlled insanity is how I would coin it.
Okay, so does this matchup strike the hearts of everybody from a betting standpoint, Carolina-Denver?
Yeah, it helps a little bit. With the other side, it wouldn't have mattered too much. Patriots, naturally with Brady and the old man Manning. I'm going to call this one the the Lawrence Welk versus the Snoop Dogg. I mean, you got the old timer in there naturally, but he's making strides in the past few weeks. And you got Cam Newton, the unbridled enthusiasm that he spreads throughout his team. And actually, there are some people that obviously there are some people that don't like it, but I think you got to learn to live with it. The kid's just sensational, first of all. And I think he's a Floyd Mayweather of NFL now. You love him or you hate him, but you'll show up. But yes. This is the other side of the coin. Is this is a super matchup, and there'll be a lot of sidebars going with it, and that's why I consider this to be the best matchup that we could have going into Super Bowl 50. Can you believe that, buddy?
No kidding.
Super Bowls.
I know. I know. And how many have you seen, Jimmy?
All of them.
Yep. I know.
And I bet on the first couple.
How many have you bet on, Jimmy?
All of them, one way or the other, depending what side of the Connor I was on. As a kid, I lost my first two going against Lombardi and his Packers with the Chiefs and then the Raiders. But, you know, that was a long time ago. I was a young running around kid. But this will be my 40th Super Bowl out here, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger every year.
So when you say bigger and bigger every year, quantify that year one of the 40. Okay, what was it like? What was the money bet on in year one? Can you even recall? Can you remember?
Yeah, it wasn't even talked about. When Nevada started taking the actual amount of money that we take in during our sports season, you know, way back when, I think they started to do this around the early 80s, I'm going to say 82 or 83, the total handle on the Super Bowl, we might have reached $15 or $20 million. Mm. As you can see now, you know, $100 million is always there, and it seems to go higher and higher in every year. And what has happened, Brad, over the years is like this, obviously mainstream America has gotten into sports betting, which is going through the roof. And the other part of it is people, a lot of people are finding out, and, you know, don't let me make up your mind for you, but they're having more fun coming to Las Vegas for the weekend as opposed to going to the site. Obviously, the ticket prices for the seats are going through the roof. Getting there, naturally, with the travel sometimes is bad. So we are getting what I would consider people who won't stay from the NFL. They're having more fun coming to Las Vegas for that weekend as opposed to going to the game, and that to me is the big part of the growth of this sport and the growth of sports betting.
Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino. All right, so the line was 5.5 to start. Has it changed during the week?
Well, it actually started 3.5 in a couple spots. We opened at 4 at the South Point, and it was just all favorite money. The Carolina Panthers surely have made a mark in the betting side of it, but we are currently at 5.5. Most books around the state are painted 5 and 5.5. But, you know, Brad, we still got 11 days to go, and a lot of things can happen. What will happen come next weekend? The Denver people who come to town, now they won't be taking the 5 or 5.5 points. They'll be taking the Denver Broncos on the money line. They want to win their bet, and they want their team to win the game. So you'll see a lot of that late. And trust me, there are a lot of smarts that we call smarts out there, or value hunters. If the game does splash the 6, they'll eat that up immediately, because obviously the rationale being the Denver's defense is going to make it a little bit harder for Cam Newton, and the +6, I think, will definitely be a take for the people who like value. But this I can tell you, right now, 80% of the money is on the favorite. We go through a period now where we write good business during the day, but as we get to the beginning of next week when the props start to show on the board and everybody comes to town, and then, like I said, it just goes through the roof.
What's the total on the game right now, Jimmy?
46 and bouncing around 45, 46 back and forth. The money line, meaning just pick the winner or loser of the game. The Carolina Panthers, if you want them just to win the game, you got to lay 2-1. And conversely, on the other side, if you want the underdog Broncos, you get 9-5 for your money. So everything fits into place. I got a prop that you can think about, and we'll talk about maybe the next time we speak, that I have to figure out how to word it yet. But I want to put a prop up on the board, like, will Peyton Manning finish the game? There's so much drama going on there. Could you imagine if right before the game starts, Manning says he's retiring after the game? So I think we'll have a lot of fun with that prop. So and the kids in Las Vegas are creative. We'll come up with something new every year, but I think that one will go over big time. So as soon as I figure out how to actually to word it, I'm going to put it on our board here at the South Point.
Have you put any props up already, Jimmy?
Well, actually, Brad, we put up props one day after last year's Super Bowl. We put up the same thing. Will there be a safety? Will there be a two-point conversion made? And will the flip come heads or tails? We've written $20,000 on that prop, on those three props from last year up till now, and that was always just $10, $20, $30 for the entire spring and the summertime, where people like bet, they're more like souvenirs. So you'll see props starting to pop up late tomorrow afternoon and early Friday, Brett. It is time-consuming. It's labor-intensified. You put up 200 or 300 props. You have to load them in the machine. You have to make sure everything is stated right. You have to double-check everything. So it does take a while, but, you know, it's part of what we do. We can't go backwards anymore because the public demands having fun, $20 and $30 on these props. One thing I can tell you, Brad, that the average guy who comes to town will bet the team he wants, and then he will also bet around 5 to 8 proposition bets between $10 and $50. That's about the average of people, which means you have somebody to root for the entire game. Who's going to score first? Who's going to score last? Will it be a touchdown pass or a run? And, again, you are entertained from the kickoff to the end of the game.
See you, Jimmy. Talk next week. Thanks.
All right, pal.
It's Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino. He's awesome. It's just on a roll today, on fire. Will Peyton Manning finish the game? Would I put money on that? That's good. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports.